ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I think I'm lost. It's fourth canto, chapter 40. Text number 30, verses 29 and 39. This one doesn't have a mark. Vayam tu shaksha Bhagavan Bhavasya Priyasya Sakshyo Krishna, sorry, Shana Sangamena Siddhisthitishasya. Bhavasya Mirtyu Vishaktamam Twa Adya Gatim Gataha Sma. Vayam tu saksad Bhagavan Bhavasya Priyasa Sakyushana Sangamena Siddhuschitasya Sabhavasat Mityu Vibhaktamam Tadagatim Katasma. Vayam tu saksad Bhagavan Bhavasya Priyasya Sakshyu Samasangamena Siddhukshisa Sabhavasa Mityo Vishaktamam Tadayakisham Tvadagatim Gatasma. Vayam tu saksad Bhagavan Bhavasya Priyasa Sakshyushana Sangamena Siddhushchitiksasa Bhavasa Mityu Vishaktamam Tvadayagatim Gatasma. Vayam, we, to, then, saksat, directly, Bhagavan, O Lord, Bhavasya, of Lord Shiva, Priyasya, very dear, Sakyu, your friend, Shana, for a moment, Sangamena, by association, Siddhushchitiksasya, very difficult to cure. Bhavasya, of material existence. Mirtyu, death. Bishak tamam,
The most expert physician. Toi, you are there today. Gatim, destination. Gataha, have achieved. Shma, certainly. Translation. Dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It has been said, Harutim Vina Nastutim Daranti, without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, one cannot attain relief from the clutches of Maya. The reputation of birth, old age, disease, and death. The Prajatas received the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the supreme devotee of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaishnavam Yato Shambhu. The most exalted Vaishnava is Lord Shiva, and those who are actually devotees of Lord Shiva follow Lord Shiva's advice and take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. The so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who are simple after material prosperity, are in a way deceived by Lord Shiva. He does not actually deceive them because Lord Shiva has no business deceiving people, but because the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva wants to be deceived. Lord Shiva, who is very easily pleased, allows them all kinds of material benedictions. These benedictions might ironically result in the destruction of the so-called devotees. For instance, Ravana took all material benediction from Lord Shiva, but the result was that he was ultimately destroyed with his family, kingdom, and everything else because he misused Lord Shiva's benediction. Because of his material power, he became very proud and puffed up, so that he dared kidnap the wife of Lord Ramchandra. In this way, he was ruined. To get material benedictions from Lord Shiva is not difficult, but actually, these are not benedictions. The Prajatas received benediction from Lord Shiva. As a result, they attained the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This is real benediction. The gopis also worshipped Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, and the Lord is still staying there as Gopeshwara. The gopis, however, prayed that Lord Shiva bless them by giving them Lord Krishna as their husband. There is no harm in worshipping the demigods, provided that one's aim is to return home, back to Godhead. Generally, people go to the demigods for material benefit, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Kamastaishtarhita-gyana-prabhadye-anyadevataha-dam-tam-niyamam-astaya-prakita-niyata-swaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrenders unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. One enamored by material benefits is called Rita Gyana, one who has lost his intelligence. In this connection, it is to be noted that sometimes in revealed scriptures, Lord Shiva is described as being known different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The point is that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are so intimately connected that there is no difference in opinion. The actual fact is Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his devotees or servants. This is a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5, text 142. This is the real fact, and there is no difference of opinion between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in this connection. Nowhere in the revealed scripture does Lord Shiva claim to be equal to Lord Vishnu. This is simple, the creation of the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who claim that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are one. This is strictly forbidden in the Vaishnava Tantra. Yastu Narayana Devam. Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma are intimately connected as master and servants. Shiva Virichi Nutam. Vishnu is honored and offered obeisances by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. To consider that they are all equal is great offense. They are all equal in the sense that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others are his servants. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurmitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. When I was reading or trying to read this verse, I read the wrong verse. Same number, but different chapter. So that's a surprise in a package for me. Anyway, of course, here we have Prabhupada's shelter in his purports in this verse. The verse says, Dear Lord, this is the Prachatas, the sons of Daksha. By virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you, and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. And Prabhupada in the purport says that it has been said, Hartim vina na shirtim taranti, without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, one cannot attain relief from the clutches of Maya, the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. So this is the disease of Maya, according to Prabhupada, the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. Mitu jara vyadi
dosa dukkha anudarshanam.
Bhagavad Gita explains that these are the evils that all the living entities have to encounter while living in the material world. So Prabhupada also here, he's hinting to that point. So here, the sons of Daksha, they are very appreciative of Lord Shiva as the one who, by his mercy, they've been able to connect with the Lord, who is an expert doctor or physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. This is a very, very interesting statement. Of course, I read another verse. I had some other ideas. But because Prabhupada's mercy is so great that whatever comes from his mouth, we can connect with that. So here, Prabhupada is pointing out that the main disease is that of going through the cycle of birth, old age, diseases, and finally to die. So in the chapter 5 of Jiva Dharma, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that everything has two natures, original nature and changed nature. And Prabhupada also elaborates on this point by giving the example of water. That liquidity is the characteristic of water, or dharma of water. Dharma refers to the nature of things that does not change. So Prabhupada gives this analogy of water. That similarly, just as water, its nature is that of liquidity, in a similar way, the living entity has its original nature, is that of being part and parcel of the Lord. As part and parcel of the Lord, in his nature, he is a servant of the Lord. Just as the energy cannot exist without the energetic. This is a very simple example that Prabhupada gives. So in a similar way here, or we could say here, the Prachetas, the sons of Daksha, they are appreciating having been connected with the Lord, who is, of course, here said to be the expert physician. Why? Because only by his mercy we can stop our journey within this cycle of Janma Mirtyu Jara Vyadhi, the cycle of birth, old age, diseases, and death. How is that? That is by taking to devotional service, which is constitutional to the jiva. Just as water, when water is in contact with non-watery things, with the things that are not of the quality of water, the water ceases to be of its own nature. It takes upon the qualities of that thing which it has become mixed up with. So in Srimad Bhagavatam also we found Vidura asking a similar question to Maitreya Rishi, that The living entity is always conscious in all circumstances. Moreover, he is always accompanied by the Lord as Paramatma. And then how is it that he engages in activities of nescience? How is it that he engages in activities that causes him distress? And then Maitreya Rishi, he gave a very simple example that just like the moon, when the moon is seen on its reflection on water, because the quality of water is that of trembling, the water is unsteady, so the moon may appear to us to be trembling. It may appear to have taken the quality of water. Atmano anatmano gunaha. In a similar way, the living entity, upon coming in contact with matter, he appears to have taken the qualities of matter. This is the problem. So this comes in a form of birth and going through the tribulations of experiencing diseases, old age, and finally having to leave the body. So according to these signs of Daksha, these are the main problems in this material world. These are the main diseases which can only be cured by the Lord because he's an expert doctor, an expert physician. Very straight statement. So how is that possible? Prabhupada, he often quotes this verse. Atapumbir dvija shrestha vanashrama vibakashaha anustistasya dharmasya samsidir haridoshanam. That the ultimate good or the perfection of life for all people in all vanas and ashrams is samsidir haritoshana, is that their activities get to the point where they are pleasing to the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Why is that? Because the reason why the living entities are in the material world having to suffer these pangs of being born, having to go through diseases, old age and that, is due to separation from the Lord. This aversion, this separation is caused by aversion. When one becomes averse towards the Lord, and then he comes to the material world. This is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So here, basically, Bhagavatam gives us, or in the end, all these verses, all these chapters, culminate to one point. That is prayaschitta, prayaschittam. Why? Because Maharaj Parikshit, the person to whom Bhagavatam was spoken to, he had one of these problems, one of these diseases. He was cursed to die in 7 days, having been cursed by a Brahman called Sringi. So he wanted also to know what is the remedy, what could be the process of purifying one's existence before he dies. So Sukadev Goswami spoke many points, but they all come to this point of prayaschittam, the purifying process. Like the prachastas here they are saying, the Lord is the greatest physician because he is the one that can cure the living entities from material diseases which come in the form of bad diseases, old age and death. So Maharaj Parikshit had one of these problems. He was gonna be facing death in 7 days. He had a notice. Sometimes you get a notice that if you don't pay what you owe to this company in 7 days, you have to come to court. You have to get those notices and then you try to make some arrangement to pay up. Otherwise, you end up in jail. So Maharaj Parikshit also was warned that in 7 days, according to the curse of the Brahmana, you will have to face death, mirtyu. So he wanted to know which process he can adopt for his purification or prayaschittam. So of course, you all know the Leela. Many, many great personalities suggested. Because he was a king. Yes, there were so many suggestions. But Sukadeva Goswami came and gave him the right medicine. Because he was a king, someone may have come and said, you do the yagya. Do a huge yagya. Or you engage in some form of tapasya. These are also part of, these are processes also which are meant for purifying oneself. But the king was not satisfied until he received the message of Bhagavatam. Because there are many scriptures, Dharma Shastras, there are Moksha Shastras, and many, many other scriptures. But Srimad Bhagavatam is supreme in a sense that it explains the principles that are in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It explains how to please, give us an idea as to how to please the Lord. So by pleasing the Lord, one can become cured of all these material diseases. This is the highest prayaschittam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are three ways of purifying oneself or through the process of prayaschittam. One type of prayaschittam is karma prayaschittam. In karma prayaschittam, that involves processes like Chandrayana. In Chandrayana, people will fast at the time when the moon is waning or waxing. They will end up eating very little. That's one way of prayaschittam. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that when one follows this process of karma, prayaschittam, he will be able to offset the influence of his past sinful activities. But the desire to commit those activities remain. And also the root cause of the desire, which is the ignorance, that remains. And then if one follows the process of jnana, which entails confession, one will be able to stop the reactions of the past, also remove the desire. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the root cause of the desire to engage in pap, which is ignorance, will remain until one takes to the process of bhakti. And bhakti cures or removes everything. Why? Because the root cause of his ignorance is aversion towards the Lord. So when one engages in bhakti, especially in chanting the names of the Lord, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that immediately there is a connection. One becomes connected with the Lord. And then that is how his disease, material disease, get completely cured. So in that way here, the Prachastas are also saying the same thing, that dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you, who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of your great fortune, on account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. This is another important point here, taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. What it means, this is explained also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there in the part where Lord Krishna just left the gopis during the Rasa dance. When the Lord disappeared, the gopis became very stranded. They started looking all over for the Lord. And then they came to a spot where the marks of his lotus feet were visible on the ground. And they became very relieved. And then upon taking the darshan of the Lord's lotus feet on the ground, the gopis stopped searching for him, and they started grouping amongst themselves, and they performed different pastimes which Lord Shamasunda performed in Raj. So in that chapter, there's a very big commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He explains why. He explains that the lotus feet of Lord Krishna have different markings, which represents different benefits for those who have taken shelter at his lotus feet. There is the instrument that controls the elephants. There is the thunderbolt of Indra. There is also a flag. There is a lotus flower, the gada, the club. What else is there? There is the conch shell. There is also the Bali seed also is there. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains what all these markings symbolizes. He explains that the lotus flower, with the lotus flower, the Lord increases the longing for him in devotee's heart. And then he says that the thunderbolt of Indra is meant for destroying all the pop from the past when the devotee surrendered at his lotus feet. The flag stands for victory. When one surrenders to Krishna, he becomes victorious. This statement also is there in the Bhagavad Gita. In the end, we found Sanjaya is telling Dhritarashtra that whenever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, Yogeshwara, and the greatest archer, Arjuna, certainly there will be extraordinary power. There will be opulences. There will be morality and victory. So we found that also. So this flag at the lotus feet of Krishna also indicates that one will become victorious. And then the marking of the barley seed, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it symbolizes all the good things, the enjoyable things that one enjoys in devotional service. So in that way, when the gopis saw the markings of the last lotus feet, they became joyful and they became to remember how he saved them from Govardhan, how he saved the cows and all the residents of Raj, how he killed demons like Bakasura, Denukasura, and they became joyful and they started performing these pastimes. So in that way, the Lord is the best physician for curing all material problems. And Prabhupada explains that in order to become successful in this process of curing material disease, in one of his books, there's one book called The Path of Perfection. The Prabhupada explains that to be a devotee successfully, one has to come to this realization that I am Krishna's. I belong to Krishna. I do not belong to this society or that society, this community or that community, this nation or that nation. I belong to Krishna. Prabhupada says this is the first realization that one has to have. Why? Because Sarvapadi vinid muktam tatparatvina nidmanam rishikesha rishikena sevanam bhaktir uchati. Rupa Goswami explains that these designations are the cause of all diseases. So when we engage our senses in the service of Krishna, who is Rishikesha, the master of the senses, automatically the senses become purified and controlled, and then we get rid of all our designations. So Prabhupada says that when one comes to this realization that I am Krishna's, I don't belong to this society or that society, and then it becomes easy to anchor at Krishna's lotus feet. But as long as one thinks that he belongs to this society or that community, there will be the trembling. Atmana anatmano guna. Due to the living entity's association with matter, he appears to be trembling. These tremblings come in the form of janma mirtu jara vyadi, dushanu darshanam, old age, diseases, These are the evils that we have to face growing old and becoming invalid. It really shakes a person. Even for one who is on the spiritual path can be shaken by diseases. Old age also diminishes our memory, makes us weak and very slow. So these are the diseases of material existence according to the sons of Daksha. And these diseases can be cured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the living entity takes shelter at his lotus feet. So I would beg to end here and see if some senior devotees have some corrections. Yes, Sangitan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for the very Shastric class. Yesterday and once before also, it was emphasized by the speaker. And it's a kind of general thing we hear that you cannot directly serve Krishna. Those who claim to be my servants are not really my servants. Those who are the servants are my servants. Now, what you just said by Srila Prabhupada, I belong to Krishna, seems to say something else. So how do you reconcile the two versions of who we, how we think about ourselves?
Yes, Krishna says, Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that all living entities are his parts. But they have forgotten that in this conditioning world. So when they realize that they are parts of Krishna, that they belong with Krishna, and then their spiritual nature can be awakened. But what Krishna is saying is totally different, slightly different. Basically, Krishna is not alone. Prabhupada explains that Krishna is with his devotees. So when you say Krishna, Prabhupada gives an example of a king. The king has his ministers, he has his whole entourage. So when the king is coming, we have to serve his entourage also. So in a similar way, Krishna is not alone, but he is with his devotees. His intimate friends, different categories of devotees. So these devotees, at least the highest ones like the gopis, they are the expansions of his Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. So by serving them, we can please Krishna more than trying to serve Krishna directly. Because they know how to serve Krishna the best. So by serving them, we can please Krishna. Because by serving them, we can learn also how to serve Krishna the best. That's what the statement means. So the Lord is very pleased with someone who serves his devotees than someone who tries to serve him directly. And Prabhupada, he gives an example of a master and a dog, that you can't just kick the dog and claim to love the master. Or, another example, if you like someone, you like his children, you like everyone closer to him. And then if that person found out that you helped his son or his daughter or you pleased his son, he becomes even more pleased. Because you are showing the true love for him by loving those people who are dear to him. So in a similar way, the Lord is more pleased with someone if he serves and loves the devotees than just trying to serve him directly. Because his devotees are more dear to him than himself. He says that to Uddhava in Bhagavatam, that he's more dear than himself are his devotees. So when one has become a servant of his devotees or a lover of his devotees, that pleases the Lord more than just trying to serve him. It is to serve his devotees. We see that also in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Lord sent Uddhava to Vrindavan just to experience the mood of the gopis. So when he came to Vrindavan and realized the love the gopis had for him, he had some realizations. And then in his realizations, he desired that he become grass in Vraj so that he could get the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis. So in that way, if one serves the devotees, he can quickly attract the Lord's attention than trying to connect with the Lord. Anyway, I have overspoken. We just wanted to know what is the difference between serving the devotees and the statement that Prabhupada made about realizing that we belong to Krishna, not to this material world or material society. Okay, sorry for being overspoken. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for wonderful class, Maharaj. So Maharaj, as you explained about the nature of the spirit soul, is that because the spirit soul is not product of this material world, spirit soul has come from anti-material world, but the body is product of this material world. So the natural propensity of this body is to enjoy in this material world, and our consciousness is constantly flowing through this mind and trying to enjoy my like through this body.
So, speak a little bit slow. I didn't get you.
So my question is, although the soul is situated within this body, then how to separate the consciousness from the body?
How to separate?
Our consciousness from the body, although the soul is...
From the body, yes. How to separate our consciousness from the body? That's a question. You are a brahmachari, you're supposed to know that. How is it that you do not know that? By engaging in devotion service, our consciousness become purified. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are different levels of consciousness. There is diminished consciousness, covered consciousness. Yeah. There is consciousness that is in a form of a seed. And there is consciousness in a form of a bud. There is blossoming consciousness and fully blossomed consciousness. So we human beings, according to the explanation of Thakur Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we are in different levels of consciousness. But when one engages in devotional service, his consciousness opens up like a flower that blossoms. And then the more one engages in devotional service, or the more one advances, it blossoms fully. So by engaging in the process of devotion service, we eventually separate our consciousness from the body. Even though we may be in the body, but we will not identify with it. Prabhupada, I always call Prabhupada sometimes. Sometimes some other acharyas give an analogy of a coconut that in its mature stage, we all know coconut in Mayapur, when it is green, the pulp is connected with the shell, but when it is brown and hard, and then the pulp becomes more hard and more thicker, and then you can shake it. It becomes separated from the shell. So in a similar way, this example is given also that in devotion service, just by engaging in devotion service, eventually our consciousness becomes separated from the body, even though we may be still in the body. Yes.
One more point, like as you spoke about the different symbol of the lotus palm, like flag, and then what is another one was? Flag, and then another one is?
Sorry?
The different symbol of the lotus palm. And lotus. Two symbols, as you explained. No?
I'm not hearing you.
Like you explained about the symbol of the lotus.
Oh, that is explained by Vishwanath Chagavat Thakur. It's a commentary printed in the Bhagavatam by Srila Prabhupada.
So there is one Acharya, he also gave one point that on the lotus palm of the Lord, there is thunder. So he says that through his thunder, he can strike our mountain-like sin and he can destroy our whole sin.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you for that comment. Anybody else? So thank you, Srila Prabhupada.